Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, August 29th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred through one paragraph ending, be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Dana P., Deb E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Kara L. The reference number for Monday, August 28th, is 20,577, and that's 20577. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,579. That's 20579. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you, everyone, for your service for the entire month of August. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence, practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And, John, thank you for your service all month. Nice to work with you and all of you on the line. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting OA, or I'm sorry, affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. And once again, thank you for allowing me to do service this month. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred through one paragraph ending, "Be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph today, and I will now ask Dana P. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. I'm Dana P. I am in California. Page 103, we are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch hunters, burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. Well, you know, sorry about stumbling along, because that to me is stumbling along. I mean, that's how I get really impatient. I want to get through it. And what really popped out to me is right away is this word hatred. And it means a passionate dislike. And, you know, when I focus on those things that I am, quote unquote, intolerant about, I become impatient, and it really shows character defects. My box is so tiny when I live from my perspective alone. And I know we call it the 11-step prayer, but this prayer of St. Francis really goes to, you know, what help me to understand and help me to understand where other people are coming from. It's not about what I think or what my ideas are. And what's really, really valuable for me, and I think for others to consider, this idea that, you know, when I'm intolerant, it's because I'm afraid, because maybe my little plans, my little thoughts, my little designs are not okay. If I can fit things into my own box of my ideas and what is good for me, if I can fit that all into my little box, then I'm okay. When things look different than my little box, I get very uncomfortable and I get into fear. And the other thing that I'm looking at here that it's so powerful is that people are coming to us as recovered individuals because they're looking for a place to belong and a place to fit. And, you know, I never felt like I fit anywhere, and sometimes I still fall into that. But if we accept people with open arms exactly where they are, we have a much better chance of doing what the paragraph, two paragraphs ago said, our job now is to be at a place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere where you can be helpful. And then I want to flip back to page 84, and it says it right there. You know, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God. So we go to God to run our lives at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to anyone we can help. This is all about helping others. And what does it say right before I have it? Highlight, boxed, starred. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So, you know, that is the law that we go by in this book. That's what a code is. It's a set of rules and regulations. It's a law. So even if I don't feel it, I dig deep to see where I can feel it, where I can understand rather than be understood. And I'm going to pass with that. Love to hear what everyone else has to say this morning. Thanks so much, Dawn, for your service. It's been a pleasure working with all of you this month.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I will now take the names of people who will like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Dina A. from New Jersey.
Dina A.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
This is Mona from Montana.
Diane A.
Diane A. Okay, let's go ahead and start with Dina A, and then Mona, and then Diane A. So Dina A, please get us started.
Hi, good morning, Vision. Dina A from New Jersey. This is my first time sharing on a meeting. I usually listen to the recordings. I really love this paragraph. I'm a newcomer to Vision, and I love this paragraph because this is exactly what's happening right now in my program with my sponsor. I'm coming with my unrecovered self of looking at things, trying to make it work, trying to take the responsibility for everyone's happiness around me or to, and my sponsor's just gently pointing it out to me. And the first thing I'll do is bristle as if I think she hates this alcohol, you know, that she's judging. But I notice time and again that there's no judgment. It's just a gentle, this is where I've been. I recognize it and totally accepting where I am and knowing and having that vision for me that I'm slowly, step by step, coming to a new transformed spiritual awakening and a new relationship with my higher power. And I did try a sponsor or two before that had me feeling like, no, I can't do this. This is not going to work for me. And now reading this, hearing this paragraph, I'm realizing it's that very thing of judging. I got through this and I don't do that anymore. And why are you still doing that? And you're so wrong and I'm so right. And I'm going to show it to you. rather than the real message of the big book, which is love and tolerance and understanding and really, really altruistically helping others. So I'm so grateful for that today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. Mona, please share with us and give us the initial of your last name, please. And you're calling from Montana. Thank you.
Yes. This is Mona S. from Montana, and very grateful to be able to speak today. This paragraph is really important to me as well. And, you know, I have learned it all begins with me. If I am feeling very, very intolerant or judgmental or critical of myself, I know that I'm going to be intolerant and critical of others. And growing up in an alcoholic home, that just became my way. And what I love about sponsorship in A Vision for You, I'm not sponsoring, I'm new, but my sponsor, what I love is that lack of judgment, that kindness, that tolerance, but boundaries are constantly demonstrated to me so that I truly can learn another way. That when I am judgmental, critical of myself, oh my God, that's what leads me to want to eat because that is so darn painful. But when I am reminded, no, you might be being a little hard on yourself, you don't have to be perfectionistic here, when I'm not even aware that I am being perfectionistic, it's wonderful to have someone who is kind and boundaried be able to say that to me, because that is part of my disease process. And I just find if I'm not being so critical and judgmental of myself, it is easier not to do that to others. And this disease, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's the food, it is life-threatening. And kindness and tolerance, I am learning, is what heals it. But I have to learn how to do that myself first. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mona S. from Montana. And now we'll have Diane A. share with us, and then I'm going to be taking some more names. If you happen to be just joining us, we are talking about page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred. Through that one paragraph ending, be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. So please share with us, Diane, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. My name is Diane H., as in happy, and I am from South Florida, and I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you very much. This reading from page 103, we are careful to show, not to show intolerance. I am so grateful for this program for helping me to be humble, humble me down, because I always thought I was humble and gentle and kind to others, but I found I had a lot of negative thoughts about not only other people, but about myself. And intolerance is, to me, hating other people's maybe behavior, maybe my own behaviors. And I cannot afford to be intolerant toward anybody because I find that is trying to be in control, trying to be that God person to myself and to others. I cannot afford to be intolerant and unkind to myself. I was speaking with someone this weekend about kindness to myself and being kind to others. And as I was talking about kindness to myself, I was saying that you have to be kind to yourself, because in a lot of areas of your life or my life, I find that I have a lot of insecurity and brokenness as a human being. And I have to be kind. I have to watch what I say to myself. I can't say things that to make me think that I'm a bad person. I have to be careful how I correct myself, not so that I will not think that I am bad. And the person said to me, well, you'll have to, when you're grown up and you're a matured person, you understand the difference between correcting yourself and telling yourself you did something very bad and being a bad person. And I had to tell this person, who was a much younger person than myself, I had to tell that person, no, everybody is not mature enough, and I definitely, in a lot of areas, am not mature enough to understand that. I am growing in this area of my life. I have to understand, I have to speak kindly to myself, and I have to speak kindly to others, because I never know, I can't think that this person is mature enough to understand. I have to speak kindly, thank you, I have to speak kindly to others, because that's the only way that I can affect myself and maybe others. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diane H. from Florida. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Jill S.
Did I hear a Jill S?
Cheryl S.
Oh, there we go. Cheryl S. Very good. And who? I heard a Deb E. And who else was in that group there?
Sherry
Z.
Liz E.
Liz E. And who else? I have Cheryl S., Deb E., Sherry E., Liz
E.
E. Perfect. Anyone else?
Juanice N.
And Jordan L.
And Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, Cheryl S., please get us started, followed by Deb E.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada. And this this paragraph hits close to home to me on two different fronts. First is my family. My family eats very differently than I do. And two of the people in my family, they struggle with their weight. And it's not up to me to decide if they're compulsive overeaters or not. And, you know, I could be very bossy and arrogant and tell them, you know, in very passive-aggressive ways that they should eat like I do, and then they wouldn't have these problems. But that's not going to win anybody over, you know. And I'm not even trying to win them over, I think, is the bottom line. I am just an example of one way to eat. And as a result, it's not just the way I eat, but by doing the steps and through the big book, it's also the way I live. And my daughter had said to me at one time, because I was sharing with a sponsee was sharing with me that she didn't want to tell her children that she was a compulsive overeater. And I asked my daughter, you know, how she felt about that, that I've always been very open about addiction. And she said, well, you know what, if you're hiding your addiction, she goes, there's, you know, we're probably hiding things too. And she said, by knowing, you know, that you have this problem, it helped me to recognize that I had that problem as well. And I never had thought about that. That really blew me away. And the other part about this paragraph is, you know, my sponsees eat very differently from me as well. I have one sponsee that's a vegetarian. I have other sponsees, they don't have the same alcoholic foods as I do. They eat foods that I can't eat. And it's not for me to tell them, you know, this is your food plan because this is my food plan. And I've been in programs before where I was told this is the food plan, and I lost weight, so I have nothing against those. But I did come to the end of the road on those programs because I needed something more. And so I tell my sponsees, you know, go see a nutritionist and we figure out what her foods or his foods are, but it's her, I just work with women. And then go from there and then have somebody who actually has education in nutrition to help them work out how and when they should eat. But for me to be telling people, you need to do this, you need to do that, and it even goes a step further into them doing their steps. Thank you. I'll wrap up with. The other thing I don't do is I don't tell them what is right and wrong when they answer the questions on their steps, because that's not my place, and it doesn't help them for me to be dictating to them what they should think and what they should do. Thank you for letting me be of service by sharing. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Sherry Z.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And this sentence, every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. I feel like it took so much courage and so much effort just to walk into my first meeting. And I was worried that I would be judged and I wouldn't be accepted because I didn't have weight to lose. And I thought I would just get, like, refused and turned away at the door. But I was met with open arms. I was welcomed into the group. And nobody, like, batted an eyelash at the fact that I, you know, the size of my body. And that was really, it made such a difference, you know, to be in that, like, that desperate, low, that rock-bottom place before finding my first meeting. And then to find smiling people who were kind and inclusive was really something, you know, it was more than a relief. It was like a whole new world. And I feel like anonymity helps a lot with this. You know, the fact that we, you know, can remain anonymous. We don't have to, we're not required to give any information about our personal lives or professions or things like that. And I think it just helps to keep this like neutral, equal, like this equality among us, where it's just easier to be tolerant and accepting. I think when people aren't like maybe triggered by things that might trigger them to be intolerant and judgmental. And I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie E. from Israel. Sherry Z., please share with us, followed by Liz E.
Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in Southern California, and thank you, Dawn, and all those who did service in the month of August. We're at the end of working with others, and this is an instruction that as a sponsor, when we are working with others, we can't have hatred or intolerance of food as an institution, right? It's saying that you cannot be of maximum service. I cannot be of maximum service if I'm sitting there talking about all the evil things that food has done to me and all, because that's all about the solution. Food was my solution. I used to hate it because I used to hate what everybody could eat and I couldn't eat. And I used to hate it because it like would sit there and taunt me. And today with neutrality, I don't hate food as an institution. I actually have some gratitude. Food got me through some really painful childhood stuff. It was my solution. And food as an institution was the way that I survived. And had I not had the food, I might have turned to something like drugs or alcohol. I'm sure of it because I'm an addict. But what the paragraph is telling me is when I'm working with others, I'm not disparaging food as an institution because it did get me through stuff. What I'm doing is I'm staying neutral. I'm saying, I don't have a spirit of intolerance for other food or other people or other things. I am just a vessel of carrying God's message. And I don't feel that every day, but I work towards that. And this is a very aspirational paragraph because I really work towards, how can I be a vessel of not carrying hatred towards anything, not the food, not people, not my husband, nobody, so that I can just be a vehicle of communicating the 12 steps and what I've learned and carrying the message. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Liz E, please share with us, followed by Juanice N.
Hi, I'm Liz E, calling from upstate rural New York, and I don't usually get a chance to call in, so I'm so thrilled that I can be here today. When we think of practicing these affairs or these principles in all our affairs, I think of my own negativity towards things that I've had in the past. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. When working with others, I need to make sure that I'm being positive and loving, a positive and loving example to others. I want to be the kind of person and believe God has made me at this time in my life, the person that feels gratitude and love and appreciation for others and life in general. So I think as a general principle, you know, just to be grateful and kind and open and willing to hear whatever, you know, things people need to share that they're not proud of. And if I'm showing intolerance towards the institution of alcohol or the food industry or anything, that is going to make me the type of person in their eyes that can't hear hard things or negative things or real things that are painful without being judgmental. So I think practicing, you know, that openness and caring in all my affairs needs to be me when I work with others. And I am grateful to work with others because the more I'm this person that God wants me to be in practice, the more useful I am, the more fruitful I am for Him and in helping others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Liz E. from New York. Juanice N., please share with us, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I was doing it. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And so grateful to be here this morning. And one of the things I have liked so much in coming to and following this program, this way of living, is I see myself. I get to see myself in these words. And when it says here that every new alcoholic looks for this spirit of intolerance and hatred for overeating, food, being overweight, whatever, and is relieved when he finds that we are not witch burners. And that was me. When I came in, I was just so sure because every other place I had gone to try to deal with my problem was just that. It was, I was the bad one. I'm the one messed up. We're all the ones that are on this side. You're on that side. And, you know, it's just, you know, you just need to get it together. You know, it's all your fault. And that's all the stuff that I had always found wherever I went to try to get help until coming here. And I remember the first time that I had made a mistake and how gracious one of the fellows in the program was, that I just so felt the compassion and the grace of God that had, like, it seemed like it had just finally come into my life. I was so overwhelmed with gratitude. I remember how I cried. I was like, wow, this is really different. This is not the witch burners. This is really different. These are people who understand where I'm coming from. They share their stuff. I share my stuff. It's not just all about me sharing all my stuff and everybody else sitting on a high top mountain, you know, and it was able, it gave me the ability to relax for one, take a deep breath, and become open-minded that maybe these people have a real answer. Maybe these people have a real way out, you know, and it happens every time I call somebody, even now with problems and where I don't understand things, I'll reach out to people. And every time I get something that I didn't expect, I get understanding, I get wisdom. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to be where I can trust that I'm not going to be judged and condemned and all of the things that I had gotten all the time before I came in here. So anyway, that's all from me. I'm so grateful to be on this road. Have a good day. I'm past.
Thank you so much, Juanice N. from California. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking a few more names. Star One, Jordan.
Hey. Thanks, Dawn, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I am very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Experience shows. this is a great paragraph because it applies to sharing the message to newcomers, but it also... there's like a bigger theme in it, too, that applies to practicing these principles in all of our affairs. and as far as showing intolerance or hatred for institutions, I was working in food and beverage when I got abstinent and I continued to work in food and beverage as I stayed abstinent. So it was really important for me not to show intolerance or hatred of drinking or eating as an institution because it was paying my bills. and so that kind of perspective, I guess, it gives me an opportunity to continue to be a learner in this program. I'm an alcoholic as well. I got sober before I got abstinent. And I got to tell you, at 8 years of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was pretty intolerant. I had a lot of hate in my heart at that point in time. maybe not for drinking, but for other institutions and other things, other pieces of my life at that point in time. So I got a real solid lesson in how it is that I can continue to be open-minded, even years into recovery. In years into abstinence, that I can continue to develop this spiritual principle of open-mindedness and what that looks like. And that doesn't mean that I'm a doormat or a people pleaser or I let people run over me. That's not what that means at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm like one of God's children now. I get to stand on my own two feet and I get to participate in a way of humility. It's just another bozo on the bus. I'll wrap up here. but I also can continue to develop my open-mindedness and demonstrate that, especially in these rooms, and as much as I possibly can in my affairs outside of these rooms as well. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. I'll now take some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred through that paragraph, ending anything about alcohol by one who hates it. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Janice.
Lena.
Jen. Was it Jen Z?
Janice K.
Oh, Janice K. Sorry about that. And well, who is the other voice? Roz
G. Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
K.L. in Iowa.
And K.L. in Iowa. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Janice K., Roz G., Mary Lee, and K.L. Janice K., please go ahead and share.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. What strikes me is that a spirit of intolerance indicates to me the reality that I need to look at my spiritual fitness. I would like very much to tell you that I'm always perfect, I'm not always kind, and I'm always nice, and I never tell people what to do anymore. But the fact of the matter is, I sometimes fall short. And what happens, a spirit of intolerance or hatred toward anything indicates an area of spiritual unfitness. And that's one of the indicators that maybe I have work to do. It ranks really high, in my opinion, on that scale. Anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Mary Lee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roz. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. I'm in Los Angeles County. And the truth is, everybody, this morning I slept through the early meeting. I'm 60 years old. Today's my 60th birthday. I'm not paying attention to what page it is, although I have a feeling what you're talking about, because I know the big book, and I was taking a shower when the reading was going on. But I just wanted to share because I'm going to Disneyland today. It's my favorite place to go. And Disneyland is a place where there's lots of delicacies, you know? And I could say, oh, I'm 60 today. I'm going to have ice cream. I'm going to have chocolate cake. And is that really a birthday present for me? No, it is not. I have an annual pass, so I know where I can eat and what I can eat at Disneyland, and I can be just fine. I want to take a picture with Mickey. I want to go on rides and scream. I want to enjoy. I don't want to be a bummer for my kids, my daughters who are coming with me. They can eat what they want to eat, and I can eat what I can eat. And it doesn't matter about the food. What matters is that God has given me 60 years, and I don't feel happy. I feel sad because I'm single, and I've been single for 30 years. And no, not that long, 20 years. And is a man going to make it better? No, it's not. But intolerance for other things, no, that's just not the way to do it. So what I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to say, thank you, God. You've given me so many friends, but my text messages are off the hook this morning. My Facebook is packed with people saying happy birthday. I've got all these new experiences in my life, gardening, dancing, love, fun, joy, big service in Los Angeles, getting to know people. It's a great life. And God doesn't have that for me right now. God has given me so many other things to do. So I'm not going to be intolerant of the fun food at Disneyland. I'm going to eat what I can eat. I'm going to hopefully get a picture with Mickey and just love life. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Mary Lee, please share with us, followed by Kay.
I just love your voice. Good morning. This is Mary Lee. Recovered through God's grace and mercy just for today. And I couldn't get on Vision this morning, and I thought it was Verizon. I mean, I was sure it went wonky. And then I realized we had a power outage, and when we have a power outage, you have to take apart something and take the battery out and put it back in. And voila, here I am. I am a Vision addict, and I'm happy to admit it. It just sets the tone. I mean, I read my meditation books, and I know, we don't crosstalk, but Disneyland was my, I spent years in Disneyland. I had a boyfriend that worked in Adventureland, and I had those little tickets that you tear out of a booklet. I mean, she's 60, I'm 79, so 20 more years, but anyway, I'm just so happy to be here with you all, and it's important to me to be able to listen to other people share their experience, strength, and hope. And it just reminded me of one of the meditation readings when a normal person, their car breaks down, they call AAA, and sometimes we addicts, when things happen, you know, we call 911, so... This is my 911, and I am really grateful. Thank you for letting me babble on this morning, and blessings and peace to you all. Bye.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee from Oregon. And Kay, we have about a one-minute share, if you would like to take that, KL.
Thank you so much for your service. And I just want to say tolerance reminds me really closely of humility, and I think, you know, you hear spotted, I got it. It's the same thing. A great way to judge whether I'm being tolerant is how I'm judging myself. And what I've learned is usually when I'm cranky and judging a lot of other people, I usually have a lot of that going on in my head. And the same thing when I have some humility and I realize how peaceful I am when people are doing mistakes, I don't get so flustered. I'm not critical. It's like more like, oh man, how would I like to be treated on my bad days? And it kind of brings me back to kind of what a speaker said earlier, like that kindness and how powerful it is, much more powerful than the preacher or the person who knows it all or whatever. It's just like, what does it say when somebody needs, don't give somebody a lecture that needs a hug. And I just try to keep that in mind. So anyway, great to be here. I loved all the shares. Thanks, everybody, for their service. That's all.
Thank you so much, KL. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb E. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.